I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Living in the riches of my Lord and King, I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Committed to Him in everything, I do believe He'll come again. And I know one thing I'm gonna do till then is learn to live in the blessing of Abraham.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Covenant Living Broadcast. We're David and Lynn Weeder. I be David, he, she be Lynn. And she just remembers, she's the better looking one, and it's easy to remember. So anyway, thank you for joining us today. We're so glad that you're here. Before I do anything else, the scripture says in Romans to give honor to whom honor is due. And I did not do this last broadcast, but if you look right back here, you notice a distinct difference in the look of the set. There used to be, for those that this is your first time watching, go back and, you know, go to the website and watch some of the old ones. There used to be a big fan, like an Oriental type fan back here. And Kevin did that. And I think it is just phenomenal. Don't you like it? Hey,
he did
come
a great
on,
job.
Send it. Yeah, oh, man.
It's beautiful.
Really, really good job. So thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it very, very, very much. And now, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity, an ongoing mission to teach and preach and perpetuate our heritage of the word of faith. You were so clear, so specific in that mandate. And we thank you for the honor of doing that. We thank you for teaching through us beyond what we say, even in English language, but beyond that, where you, Holy Spirit, minister to each and every individual in their spirit, in their heart, so that they get what you would have them get to improve and bring more excellence into their lives, in every area of their lives, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, every area of their lives, that they come up from faith to higher faith, from glory to higher glory. For that is your will, and we thank you for it and receive it done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Pull up the chair, get your Bible and notebook. I tried to do these where they're kind of standalone. But this one, you're just not going to do. You got to watch last week. The title of last week's is Thomas's Faith, or the Thomas kind of faith. It's one or the other. It's something about Thomas and the faith. Today, we're going to be talking about Abraham's faith. Because you can't get Abraham's blessing with the Thomas kind of faith. Now, Lynn brought out an excellent, and it just led into a whole further teaching point.
About practical application, how
yeah.
it walks out.
Well, not only that, but that Jesus met Thomas. He didn't kick him out, and Thomas didn't leave either. And so Thomas didn't leave, Jesus didn't kick him out, so they were together. But Thomas did not receive manifestation of Abraham's blessing until he was able to come up following Jesus' instructions to Abraham's kind of faith. Doesn't mean he needs to quit. It means he needs to come up. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Stay in the word. Keep practicing it. Keep talking to the Holy Ghost. Teach me about this. Show me this. Teach me about that. Show me that. And keep coming up, and as your faith gets stronger, you know, the faith is not a one and done. The Bible talks about growing faith. It talks about strong faith. It talks about weak faith. It talks about no faith. Where is your faith? Faith is dynamic, and it's a currency. It's a spiritual currency in the kingdom. For example, If you've got a minister who ministers by faith, which if you don't have a minister that ministers by faith, you may want to seek the Lord to find one that ministers by faith, because you got to minister by faith. But the more they minister, if they don't take time to be ministered to, whether it's, you know, my spiritual father, father in the faith, Brother Kenneth Copeland, he used to set time aside every year to go sit under Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's teaching in conventions through the week. He'd give out, lay hands on people. He's using his faith constantly. That life force kind of starts depleting a little bit. You got to fill it back up. And so just because Thomas was operating at one level of faith, and because he limited himself, Jesus didn't limit him. He said, I will not. So that's his decision. However, Jesus came in there and said, all right, now come on now. you believe now because you've seen it. That was the requirement you put. Here I am. But come on up. Blessed are those. They'll receive the blessing when they can believe without seeing. And so stay with it. And my point, it went around with somebody's mountain. I can't remember what that saying is. Anyway, I kind of went the long way around about it, but it's stay with it is what I was getting at. Because as you do, it's not like you're no faith, great faith. Your faith grows as you use it, as you hear more word, as you exercise it. And you'll start seeing manifestations of the blessing of Abraham. But they'll keep growing and becoming more and more and more as you grow up. That's why the Bible uses the illustration so much of a baby and newborn milk versus mature and strong meat. It's a growing process. Wow. Praise God. Okay. Let's get to the notes now. So last week we talked about Thomas's faith.
Started in John.
And we started in John 20. And we saw where Thomas was at the time. Mm-hmm. And we saw Jesus' correction and encouragement where that was concerned. And then we went ahead and went over to 2 Corinthians. And we'll reread that scripture real quick so we get on the same page here. Because we saw that Thomas was basing his faith on what he could see. And so what's the other option? Well, we find it in 2 Corinthians. We find a description of it in 2 Corinthians, and then we'll look at an example of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? Because the things which are seen are temporary. You know, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the word fickle, but they're fickle. You might get up one morning feeling great. You might wake up the next morning feeling terrible. It doesn't matter. It's just, it changes all the time. They're temporary or temporal, the King James says here. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So this is the opposite of what we saw with Thomas, you know, but you don't, I try not to, every now and then I fall into it, but you try not to teach and preach just on the negative. You know, Thomas is what you don't want to do. You don't want to stay where Thomas was at the time. Okay. Well, so what do we want to do? Okay. So this is, it's not all about what we stand against, i.e. abortion, for an example. Okay, what do we stand for? Life and life more abundantly. Okay, so let's look at what the goal is. What are we aiming for? So let's turn over to Romans chapter 4. And we will see, we saw a description of it just now. So now we'll go see an example of it put into action. And what an example he is. Glory to God. And we are going to take some considerable amount of time in this verse. I'm quite certain that I don't know for sure that we won't finish it, but there's a good possibility we won't finish it today. Romans chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 16. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. All right. Now, before we go down into the example of Abraham's faith, I'd like to unwind and unravel that verse in quite a bit of detail. Okay, so we're going to look at it in the Amplified Classic Version because it really brings a lot of things to light. In the Amplified Classic Version of Romans chapter 4, verse 16, I'm going to read down through it and then we're going to go back to the parts of it. Therefore, inheriting the promise, okay, so this is the subject of this verse. Inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace or unmerited favor to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all of his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Glory to God. Now, let's go back and unpack this verse a little bit. All right, you with me? Stay with us now. Therefore, inheriting the promise. Okay, so that's the subject that we're talking about throughout this verse. So, inheriting the promise is what faith produces. It's the outcome of faith. And inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith. Why? Because in order that it might be given as an act of grace. Grace is not an object, it's not a thing, it's a person. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being the spirit of grace. Grace has supplied everything. Everything. Every good thing. Every healing. The rebirth of the human spirit, peace in your life, everything that you could ever need, want, desire, or possibly think of that's beneficial to your life, grace has already supplied it. It was supplied when Jesus went to the cross, died, was risen again, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Grace supplied everything you could possibly ever use, desire, or want then. Well, then, so wouldn't it be faith that produces the promise? No. I mean, wouldn't it be grace? I apologize, I misspoke. Wouldn't it be grace that produces the manifestation of the promise? No. Turn over to Ephesians really quick. This is our anchor verse right here, Romans 4:16 in the Amplified Classic. But we may go back and forth to some other scriptures so that you can see the clarification of the scriptures in what we're talking about here. In Ephesians chapter 2, and look down here at verse 8. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith? Okay. Remember that the word saved there is the word sozo. We talked about this, well, we talked about it last broadcast, but we have talked about it a lot. And in order to renew my mind to this, I have started, when I read saved or salvation, I read it as the whole salvation package. Because it includes healing, it includes protection, it includes deliverance. Deliverance from what? Anything you need delivered from. That's stealing, killing, or destroying anything from Satan. And it means do well. Okay, so there's the financial prosperity. Okay, all of those things. Every time you read the word saved, you need to be thinking of all of those things, the whole package. Okay, so it is by grace that you are saved, protected, healed, delivered, financially well. But it's through faith. Your whole salvation package is sitting right there ready for you. But it takes faith to reach into the spirit realm and bring it into manifestation in the physical realm.
It was given by grace.
Mm-hmm.
It was received by faith.
The spiritual force of faith. Now, go back to Romans. We're going back to Romans 4 here. In order that it might be given as an act of grace. We just explained that. To make it, to make what? Inheriting the promise through faith. To make that stable, valid, and guaranteed to all his descendants. Okay. Now, if you were raised in a denominational church or even not, you may have heard, well, you never know what God's gonna do. Because a lot of times if it just seemed hit and miss, you know, Aunt Susie'd get healed. Well, maybe it was because she was sitting on that pew. Okay, maybe it's a special pew or something. No. Over there in Romans, it says that faith is a law. Is it by the law of works? No. The law of faith, okay? What that means, just like the laws of physics, it's reproducible, it's consistent, it's reliable. So that's what this means. This may, the law of faith, operating in faith, which is why it's required to get it, grab a hold of what grace provided, that using faith to do that makes it stable, valid, and guaranteed. Because as long as you operate it by the laws that govern the law of faith, it'll happen every single time. You will be able to grab the healing that grace has already provided every time. You don't have to wait. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to wait for a healing evangelist or someone who the Lord, the Holy Spirit, operates through in the gifts of healing, which the scripture says is at his will. You don't have to wait for somebody to come to town that operates in those gifts of healing. This way, this method, yes, the Lord will meet you. It's like
meet you, where you are.
Meet you where you are. And if for some reason there's something that's limiting to you where I need so-and-so to come because he operates in the gifts of healing. Well, then great. Wait until so-and-so comes and operates in the gifts of healing. But this is another way, and it's a stable way. It's a valid way, and it's a guaranteed way to use faith to reach out and grab that healing that grace has already provided and bring it into manifestation in your life.
And that's what that pen was sitting there that whole time.
Mm-hmm. We were sitting here talking.
And it was there.
It was there the whole time.
But it wasn't in his hand, in his possession, until he reached out and got it.
And another aspect of this is a lot of people don't even know it's sitting there.
Right.
There was a lady that got so mad one time. Brother and Sister Copeland were going into a Brother Hagin meeting, and he was teaching along these lines of faith and using faith to grab a hold of the healing that was already provided. And they had walked through the outer doors of the foyer, but they hadn't got to the sanctuary doors yet. And this lady comes storming out the doors of the sanctuary, and she just mattered no wet hand. She's like, I've been healed for 2,000 years and I didn't need, I'm just now finding out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it was sitting there the whole time. One, you got to know about it. But two, you got to know how to grab a hold of it. Now, what if I think it's my elbow that grab a hold of that? That's not going to work. You can have greatest intentions, but it's not going to work. Now, grace will have Jesus come by or the Holy Spirit come by and say, hey, no, don't use your elbow. Use your hand. But it may come through her. It may come through her. Say, I notice you're trying to use your elbow to pick that up. You mind if I suggest a better way? You might want to use your fingers. Use your hand, stretch it out there and grab hold of that dude. Okay? So I know we're talking about a lot of different things, but this is all practical application. You know, the word is line upon line and precept upon precept. But there's a line here that it deals with this and a line over here that deals with this, and you put them together and you get a bigger picture. I believe that's what you say. And so that's what we're doing, is we're putting the lines together to help with the bigger picture. And to get to from the Thomas's kind of faith to Abraham's kind of faith, so that, because you will be behold the threshold. Jesus will meet you right where you are, but you'll still be below where you're not receiving until you get up to that point. Okay? Now, you can come boldly, doing everything that you know to do with all your heart and your intention, and you're in the Word and you're learning, and you're learning how to operate, because it's the Word, this power under that salvation package, and you're in here and you're learning, you're doing everything you can. But I need help. You come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy to help
in time of
mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And then you read right down in that next verse, and it says, because our high priest bears with the ignorant. You just didn't know any better. Okay? So you do everything and you learn everything, and then God's still got your back as long as you. But if you don't know, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Then you don't have access to the throne of grace.
Or if you think, I just have to do more. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to make it work. Yeah, you have to do your part. You have to do your corresponding action.
Absolutely.
But when it is, I have to make this work, you're laboring to enter into the rest.
Right. And there's, like I said, lines over here and lines over there. You have to labor to enter into the rest, which most people just are like, that doesn't make any sense. But the other part of that is, yeah, you're not doing it. But at the same time, you have to do it. You know, you cannot delegate to God what he has told you to do. Paul tried to do that with a thorn in the flesh. He went to the Lord. He said, get this thing off me. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient. I already taught you about that. Get it off yourself. So you can't tell God, get this done for me, when he said, like, you do it. But at the same time, you can't say, I got to do everything. You don't do nothing.
You know? Because the pen has been made. The pen has been set there. So you don't have to make the pen.
Right.
You don't have to put it where you can get to it. You have to put yourself in a position where you can reach it. It's hard to reach it from across the room. So you have to draw closer to what was provided. Mm-hmm. But it's not his job to make that pen. It's already there.
Just got to grab a hold of it. And it's partial receiving as far as resting and just letting it happen. But it's also partial, like a football receiver, who there's somebody trying to keep him from catching that ball. And he's got to go up, fight the good fight of faith, and take that ball. It's still called receiving.
I always picture Lynn Swan with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, every time. I know, y'all know. Well, okay, some people do. Some people know. That's a while ago. Just look it up, okay? Well, he was, in my opinion.
The Pittsburgh area.
He was an outstanding wide receiver.
But I mean, he jumped, he took classes in ballet to get his jump heights up there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the camera would zoom in and his feet would be up there around where people's shoulders were.
But he worked at things at other times too, not just when he was trying to receive.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Praise God. Are we getting anywhere with this? Let's get back to the verse here. To make it stable, reliable, valid, guaranteed to all of his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but you know that means it'll work for them too.
Yep.
But also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is therefore thus the father of us all, because he... We didn't get to it this time, but we're going to look
at a lot of good stuff.
We're going to look at his example of how he applied these things and what it produced. We are going to do it, but not today. Don't go anywhere, though, because this is very important. Hey, I'm telling you right now, you need to make your arrangements and get to Arkansas. You need to get there August 24th, 25th, and 26th. We are doing a conference up there. Save the Nation is the theme. I'm going to be kicking it off on Thursday night. Happy Caldwell is going to be speaking during the conference. We're going to have music and ministry by Jeremiah Yoakum. You do not want to miss this conference. It is a good central location. Fly right into Little Rock. It's in Conway. The meeting's in Conway, which is just outside of Little Rock a little ways. Beautiful area of the country. You need to be there. The word will be taught. I guarantee it. Praise God. It's going to be a good time. Like I said, August 24th, 25th, and 26th, be there and make it a point to not miss this conference. Hey, I know you know this, and I've probably said it, enough, but no, I didn't say it enough. You need to get to that meeting. I'm telling you, the Lord's given me a glimpse of what He wants my part of that meeting to be. We're going to go into the salvation package, particularly where healing is concerned. And there will be a time of ministry, healing ministry. During my service, I'll be teaching about it. You want to be there. Hey, not one person in Jesus' ministry was born again. So bring people, born again, not born again, it makes absolutely no difference. Jesus came to heal everybody. So grab a hold of somebody that needs healing and get them in that service. Now, Jeremiah Yoakum's going to be there, Pastor Happy Caldwell, my dear friend, and my dear friend Jason Rapert is going to be doing Saturday morning. You want to get in this meeting, do not miss it. I'm telling you. I wish I could preach it now. The Lord was showing me some good stuff about it. Hey, we are so glad that you joined us today. Join us again next week. We're going to go deeper into these things. We're going to have fun around the Word as we always do. Don't forget that God's always for you. He is never, ever against you. If it seems like it, that's a lie from the devil. He's for you and He loves you. And Lynn and I love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, partners and friends, for helping make this broadcast possible. For more information about our ministry, contact us at davidweeder.org or call us at 1-800-988-5380. Join us again next time on the Covenant Living Broadcast.